Hey everyone, this is Super Marcy, and I'm bringing you a special podcast slash interview that I participated in on the 4-hour podcast with Matches and Kopka, and we spoke to a friend of theirs who has a Kickstarter campaign to make a film that he has written. And we want to help him out as much as possible. So give it a listen, check it all out, and check out all the links provided and help get this thing going. It sounds amazing. And you know what? Here at Super Podcast and at supermarcy.com, we want to help out all aspiring filmmakers, writers, anybody, because it's a tough industry and, you know, people need all the help they can get. And without, you know, independent films, the industry would suck. So give it a listen and see what you think, and you know, check out the links, help out, and have some fun. Thanks, guys.
All right, welcome to Reels, Racks, Records, and Rants, a special interview edition. I'm Kupka, that's Matches.
Yo, man.
With us today is also Marcy from the Super Podcast. Marcy, welcome.
Hey, fuckers.
You sound thrilled.
Yeah.
I am so thrilled. I'm still jet-lagged over a week after getting back to the future.
Yeah, how was your visit to the States?
Yeah, I'm ready to move and live over there.
Okay.
Yep, that's how good it went.
Apparently you were in a fucking paradise.
I went hunting bears and everything.
Jesus.
That's fantastic.
Fucking awesome.
By bear, she means big, hairy gay men, but same thing.
Yeah. Well, duh.
So,
that's why you were there.
So the reason we're doing a special little interview here is because we have a longtime friend of Matches and myself who is jumpstarting his Kickstarter campaign for what will hopefully be a very fruitful writing career, hopefully.
Jim trying to say jumpstarting a Kickstarter?
Yes, he is.
All right, because I was like, I'm like, dude, you're mixing up your words there, dude.
It happens. That would be our buddy Jack, who we're welcoming here. So, Jack, welcome.
Thanks, Jim. Hey, everybody.
So, as this is being listened to, the Kickstarter campaign is going on. So tell us a little bit about what you're trying to raise money for.
So there is a screenplay that I wrote many, many moons ago, almost like, oh Jesus, it's like 9 years ago I wrote this thing, and it's called Four of a Kind, and it was the first thing I ever wrote where, like, it wasn't just dumb shit that happened to me and my friends. It was like the first time I actually started writing anything that had some semblance of a story, and it was like the first time I ever felt like I was actually accomplishing something or writing something meaningful that didn't include Jim getting run over by a car. So, and you know, like 9 years, it was specifically written for Project Greenlight season 3. And if anyone doesn't know what Project Greenlight was, it was a contest / TV show that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck put together, where they shot the winning screenplay or whatever, and basically it produced really cool TV and really shitty movies. But it placed pretty high in that, and ever since then, I've basically been, like, rewriting it. I'll work on it, you know, every once in a while and then come back to it or whatever. So this is, like, if out of anything I've ever written, I think, like, 5 complete scripts. If someone said, like, we're going to give you whatever to, you know, like, you can direct any of them, this is the one I'd want, because I think it's probably the best thing I ever wrote. About a few months ago, a buddy of mine who's a producer in LA said, he read it and he's like, have you ever thought about shooting, like, a short based off it? Like, take either part of the script and do, like, a 15-minute short, or fucking condense the whole thing down into, like, 20 minutes and use it almost as an extended trailer and submit that to festivals and things like that. So I thought about doing that at first, and that's when I initially, like, heard of Kickstarter and thought, well, we can raise, like, 5 to 10 grand and shoot, like, a short, or fuck it, I'll just pay for it out of my own pocket. And then after talking to a few producers, they're like, that's a stupid idea. If you're going to shoot something, shoot a feature. Shorts are stupid. Don't shoot a short. So this was like back in February. We shot like the idea to like, we shot the, just going into like what Kickstarter is, and like you put together a video and things like that. And like back in February, we put together like a video for it and was ready to launch, like looking to launch like well before now. But just like the amount of like prep working, because we're looking to raise like $100,000. So it's not like you can't just put it out there and pray to God that, you know, Jim gives me $10. And when Jim tweets about it, 10,000 other people are going to give me $10. You know, there's a lot of prep work that goes into it. So that's what we're trying to jumpstart the Kickstart.
Awesome.
I actually got to bring one thing up. You might have gotten hosed. You said you were season 3 of Project Greenlight?
Yeah.
Okay, so you went up against the only decent movie that ever came out of Project Greenlight.
Yeah, I've actually never seen Feast.
It's phenomenal.
But I think it's actually, yeah, exactly. I mean, they made like two other ones, like Feast 2, Happy Endings, and I forget what the fucking third one was called.
But yeah.
The two writers that beat me went on to write 5 of the Saw movies. So I'm like, all right, it's not like I got beat out by, you know, people that ended up not doing it. Like the people that won part or season two never really, haven't done almost anything.
And that's the same thing with season 1. Yeah, season 3 was the only season where it really seemed like it had something successful to it. So you kind of got hosed by that.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. But, you know, I mean, looking back on it, like, I actually went through – like, I have a folder that has almost – not every draft, but plenty – a lot of the drafts that I wrote. And I went back and found one that probably was submitted to Greenlight or whatever – and I read it, and I'm like, wow, this is dog shit.
Wow, that's awesome.
You know? I mean, not like dog shit, but, I mean, just, you know, 9 years, like, compare 9 years ago and then kind of getting better at the craft of actually, you know, writing and realizing the amount of, not necessarily mistakes, but just the things that are in there that, you know, you kind of learn to stop doing. Like, the original draft had... I think it was very Goodfellas-like in that it followed like this group of friends and how they all end up working for the mob. And there's like 40 pages of backstory. And that's like in the current draft, that's all covered in like a page or two.
Wow.
Because it's just not, you don't really need to know every single like aspect of their life that got them to where they are. You can just summarize it very quickly, either in a line of dialogue. Some people use flashbacks, even though it's kind of looked down upon. So yeah.
One of the big things about Kickstarter is that the people who donate, you know, get kind of fringe benefits if whatever they're supporting gets made. What are some of those that you're offering?
Hey, Jim, do you have note cards in front of you?
No, I don't, actually.
Don't lie, motherfucker. Do you have note cards in front of you?
I don't.
This is all coming off your head?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So your question was like, what are the rewards?
Yeah, what rewards are you offering?
So just to elaborate on what you said, the way it works is people will back your project, and then for certain levels, you give them, you know, anything from, you know, the DVD or for films, it's basically you get the DVD and as you progress, there's, you know, you can come up with much more clever things. I'm not being the most clever person in the world. What we came up with were for like $5, you get the movie as like a download. So, you know, for $5, here's an HD copy. Either we'd put it on like Vimeo or just drop it in Dropbox. So I don't get charged for bandwidth. And then at like 25 or for, and then at $10, you get the download. Plus we put your name in the credits. And I believe that also allows us to put you on IMDb under special thanks. And then for $25, you get the DVD and the other two things. And then from there, actually for $50, you get the DVD. I forget what's at 25. I could look it up though. And then from there, it's like $100 will, you know, will let you put something of yours in the film. Like if you have like a t-shirt you designed or a song you wrote, something like that, something for you to personalize. Like for, I think, $150, you can be an extra. So we plan on shooting in Chicago. If you're in Chicago, for $150, you want to be in the background somewhere, rock on. And then for $250, this is for like screenwriters. My buddy Dan, who I mentioned before, who works at a production company, will read your script, provide you notes. If he likes it, he'll pass it along to his superiors. And then basically goes on and on. For like $1,000, you get producer credit. $2,500, you get producer credit and can come to the set and so on. So I don't anticipate getting many in the role. Like, I think there's a $10,000 one where, and I think I only give, actually, I think it's unlimited. You can have as many backers as you want at $10,000. But I think it's like you get executive producer credit. You come to the casting calls. You can, you know, give notes on takes. Basically, I mean, you're giving that much money. You have the right to be on set and kind of tell me when I'm completely fucking up a scene. Because one of the things with Kickstarter is you can't give anyone equity. You can't say, like, for 10 grand, and if this sells, I'll give you whatever on the back end. Or you get a percentage of each DVD sale. So I don't know anyone, at least, you know, personally or whatever, that has 10 grand just to shell out just so they could show up to the set. So I highly doubt we'd get any in that level. But basically at that level, I mean, you're basically part of the movie. So those are the nifty little rewards we have. And if you guys can come up with anything even more clever, you can add them as you go along. So Jim, I'm sure you can't think of any, but Casper, rock on.
I'm sitting here, I'm stuck at the $100. I'm like, so I got to pay $100 to promote some of my comic book shit in your movie. Okay.
Can write it off, but I mean, it's essentially a business expense, right? I mean, you can turn it into something like that.
Are you asking me or him?
Matches.
Yeah. Yeah, you probably could.
So there you go. Go fucking 10 grand, dude. You can fucking direct them, write them off. You fucking take a loss, you get a great tax return.
Right? Dude, if I had 10 grand, I don't know what I'd be doing, but I won't be doing this shit.
Dude, 10 grand ain't that much.
you know what? 10 grand, I actually would just be out of debt.
Yeah, exactly. Be like, I'd pay off my student loans, and then I'd still be on this fucking podcast.
One of the things that I've liked that you've been doing with the website, which what is the name of the website again that you're? It's
fourofakindfilm.com.
And it's all spelled out, correct?
You can type it. You can type the letter. Yeah, it's all one word or whatever, and you can type four or put the letter four.
Oh, so you did both. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that you've been kind of posting or blogging, if you will, about the different experiences you've had or found out, one of which is the difficulty or expense of Blu-ray copies, because that was one of the things you were offering. So that's kind of cool. You want to talk a little bit about, you know, what came with that?
Yeah, So one of the rewards was going to be at $25 you get the DVD, but at $50 we give you the Blu-ray, and then every other reward level will give you the Blu-ray, but of course we'll give you the option if you don't have a Blu-ray player, you can get the DVD. So obviously if someone's giving $50, you need to figure out what are my margins. Like, out of that $50, obviously I have to produce a reward, so a certain amount of that has to go towards, you know, producing the reward, and I get a certain amount. So what a lot of people fuck up on is they'll give, like, at $10, we'll give you the DVD. Now, unless you're burning them themselves, which you can, you know, which would be rather cheap, but it would take you a while, and the copy isn't usually as good and whatever. But I mean, if you're giving that away at $10, I mean, you're going to get five. So what's the point, right? So trying to figure out what the margins were, and I reached out to just some replication company and found out that, like, to burn Blu-rays at, like, I don't know how many I'm going to have to create, so I can't really tell them, like, 500 would be like $10 a Blu-ray, you know, 1,000 would be $5 a Blu-ray, something along those lines. But what I found out was, if you're going to burn Blu-rays, if you're going to replicate them, you have to pay a licensing fee to Sony, I believe. It's like called an AACS license for their encryption algorithm. Like, basically you have to put in like four levels of encryption on the Blu-ray and pay for the license. And the license is $3,000 or $500 a year for 10 years, something like that. And then per each Blu-ray, you have to pay royalties. It's like 4 cents, but you have to pay royalties. So at that point, I'm like, well, fuck that. I'm not going to, you know, $3,000 is 3% of the entire budget. I'm not going to do that just to print Blu-rays. But then I later found out that only applies if you order more than 1,000. So if you order like 900, you don't have to get the license, but then the Blu-ray is not copy protected, and like, I give a fuck if someone's gonna steal my movie and put it on BitTorrent, you know, rock on. I hope someone does.
That's awesome. Right. Yeah.
You know, I hope someone likes it enough that they want to fucking steal it. But so yeah, so I was like, okay, well, I'll put the Blu-ray in, but then I thought, well, what if like by some happenstance I get exactly 1,000 people that want the Blu-ray, but still only raise exactly $100,000. I don't really want 3,000 going towards just a Blu-ray win. Cause that doesn't even count, you know, authoring. I mean, right. like authoring it, having someone design the titles and things like that. Yeah. I mean, it ends up costing way too much to do a Blu-ray. So that was one of the interesting things I found while going through this little Kickstarter experience of mine. And the other thing that I found that was quite interesting was the way certain – how to put this by being nice. Jim actually heard these.
Yeah.
When getting radio people to possibly do any voiceover work for a dramatic piece is usually a bad idea. So I'll just leave it at that because I don't want to be mean to anyone. But
that's very kind.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah. Yeah. That was a dark day for me. I heard that. I heard those takes and thought, wow, like I'm just talentless and, you know, these are just horrible. And yeah, it was a dark day. But yeah. So yeah, don't use radio actors to do dramatic readings. It's a bad idea.
Actually, I already got one idea for you for an extra prize on your rewards list of supporters thing. Rewards thing. Yeah, I'm sure you have some friends who do artistic things. I didn't hear you list a T-shirt at all with movie promotion on it. Because then the nice thing about that is too, and also you could do a movie poster in there as well that's right. Promoting your shit that they can wear around.
I was going to throw the poster in at like the $50 thing and just here you go. You get the DVD, you get the poster. But then I thought like the amount that's going to go into having to ship all the posters and things along those lines. And I thought, so I think I actually have, hold on, let me load it up. I think it's at like a couple $100 or whatever would be like a poster signed by everyone in the cast.
Well, you could do a big full movie size 24x36 poster, but you could do smaller ones that you could fold up into packages too, like little, almost like 11x17 movie posters.
That wouldn't be a bad idea.
That you could fold in half, and you can get those printed cheap as shit, and then you could actually send them on to people as well. That would be an inexpensive thing for you to send them as well. So it's not like you're cutting into a lot of your money.
Right. Yeah, because what I did like to kind of cover the poster, because I had a buddy of mine who I work with come up with a poster, and I'm not sure if you've seen it, but it's just a gun with like the skyline of Chicago on it against like a textured gray background or whatever. Is it's like at 25 we give you, obviously you get I call it the digital assets package. It's the screenplay, and then you get the screenplay like as I make changes to it up until the point where we film it or whatever, because some people just really want to read it. Like a high-res retina display version of the poster, and then versions for like your iPod, your iPad, things like that.
Nice.
And then the then we're going to give like a DVD cover thing. So if you download it, like an HD download or whatever, and want to create, like, you know, print it out, we give you that. But then we give you the PSD or whatever that – were used to create these, so just if like anyone wants to like change them or whatever. So that's at 25, but yeah, I can see your point, getting like a real actual poster as opposed to just a high res retina display JPEG. I just have to look at the margins for that and like see where that would go.
And I'm telling you, shirts aren't bad either. Shirts are something that you can get relatively inexpensively, especially if you stick to like a black shirt with white print on it and just that.
Right.
And do like a unique design kind of for that. It's a cool way to go out there. People love fucking shirts, man. And like,
if you want to design the t-shirt, dude, rock on, dude.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking we can work out some type of deal here. Yeah, man. And
I think we should just put Jim's face on it.
Fucking A ring.
All right, Jim, go to your next fucking index card.
I don't have any index cards. I was going to ask if Matches or Marcy, if you guys had any questions for him.
Marcy, are you still with us?
I am.
We've been riveting her, you know. Actually. She's thinking about killing bears and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is there any bear killing in this project? Because otherwise, I don't think I'm interested.
I could put one in. If you,
you give me
$150, I will put in a bear killing scene.
Wait, how much?
$150, dude.
$150 I think to kill a bear?
Is that $100? No, it's $100. There you go.
Done. I'm donating for my bear.
That would kill our budget because then we'd have to get like the PETA people involved. Not the PETA people, but like
Animal rights.
Whatever animal handlers are involved, that would then.
I'll just dress up as a bear.
Pull a Nick Cage from Wicker Man.
Yeah.
There you go. Why don't you?
So Jack, I mean, I think the big question I would have is what made you decide you really wanted to pursue a lot of this stuff? What was your background? You said, you know, you wrote this 9 years ago, you got in Project Greenlight and stuff. You've written a lot of stuff about, you know, the odd circumstances with you and your friends. But what made you decide you started to actually want to write screenplays?
What made it like what I,
was there movies? Was there just, it was just something that was kind of a passion? What,
To give like the cliche answer of anyone who probably grew up in the 90s or is a big 90s film lover, it was probably Reservoir Dogs. Watching that movie when I was like, that's fucking cool and I want to fucking do that. And then probably 8 years after the fact is when I actually sat down and typed Fate in on the first thing I ever wrote, which was a god awful, like, I think it was called Classified. And it was based off like an RPG game that I used to play when I was a kid called Top Secret. And it was like 140 pages of just god awful. But the good thing about it was, you know, I think everyone has to get that first one out of them. Because just about everyone's first attempt at writing one of these is going to be god awful. And then part of it's also like there's no real barrier to start writing one. If you have a word processor, you can write one. Like if I picked up a guitar and tried playing it, it's going to sound like shit and I'll immediately know it sounds like shit because I don't know what I'm doing. But as far as writing goes, I mean, you kind of just have to get that first one out and then the second one out. And so this was probably the third one where I was like, I think I got something here. And then placing so highly in a contest, like getting that close or whatever, like that quickly, I kind of thought at that point, I'm like, well, sweet. I'll just, when I write query letters to agents or production companies, I'll be like, look, I beat out 4,100 other scripts in this contest. Read this and like, let's make a movie. And just so like, it just didn't fuck. Like no one gives a fuck that you placed highly in like a certain contest. Like there's some out there, like if you get like a Nickel Fellowship, that's like considered like the cream of the crop when it comes to screenplay competitions. But you know, at that back when, you know, in 2005 I think or 2004, you know, actually going through like, you know, getting the doing like the video for I think Live Planet was Matt Damon and Ben Affleck's production company. Like you got like this huge packet where you had to like sign all this stuff away and get into agreements with them, and you're giving Miramax like first right of refusal on your script, and it was like, holy shit, this is real. And then, you know, nothing happened with it. You know, it's kind of like I talk about like there's on American Idol, there's like right before they go to the final shows or whatever, they put all these people in. They separate them in like three different rooms, and then two of the rooms get to go on and the other room hears everyone cheering, and then they're told, yeah, you didn't make it. It's like, yeah, I've been there. It fucking blows, you know? So, yeah, I mean, basically just like a liking and love of movies is why I wanted to start just writing screenplays. And then as far as like, I never really thought about directing or just because, you know, it just I saw myself more as a writer than anything. But as far as directing, part of it had to do with, like, we haven't talked about this at all, but both me and my brother have.
I was going to bring that up next. Yeah,
me and my brother have really bad eyesight or whatever. We're born with retinal diseases that lead to basically, like, you know, incurable vision loss. And not complete blindness, but pretty fucking close, right? And my brother, who's just like a three years older than I am, you know, over the last like few years, I mean, he's basically legally blind at this point. He can't fucking see a thing. You know, he uses a cane to walk around. Like, I don't know if you've been to like the eye doctor, like to see the eye chart. He can see the big ass E and like nothing else. Jeez. Or whatever. So his vision like just went on him so fucking fast. And that kind of kicked me in the ass, like saying like, all right, you haven't really had anyone, like I've had producers read the script and I've gotten like notes back and forth over the years, many contradictory notes, like put in voiceover, get rid of voiceover, you know, make this happen, get rid of that happening. And it just got to the point where I was like, you know, if I'm ever going to like see this thing, not only while, you know, I can still physically see, you know, I'm like, fuck it, I'll just make the fucking thing myself. And that's where the whole idea of like, you know, let's do a Kickstarter, try and raise some cash. And if this works out, try and go to, you know, even try and raise even more money through like private equity and, you know, try and shoot something. Cause I don't know. I think it's a, and Casper, you haven't read it, and Jim read like earlier versions of it, but I think it's pretty badass. So, and I think it'd make a kick-ass movie, hopefully.
Nice.
Yeah, why don't you give us a little breakdown of the film?
So it's about these four dudes. Basically, it's about four friends who, you know, grew up together, lifelong friends. You know, the kind of guys who, you know, probably went to the same school. You know, if they went to college, they would have probably all gone to the same college. And the movie starts off with one of them comes back from the military, and so he comes back, and it's kind of like just, you know, it's a reunion. He's back, you know, they go out, and then you find out that he's basically there working undercover to take down the four, like basically the guys he grew up with and the boss he used to work with. And, you know, fun and games basically ensue from there. So it's got a little bit of like Departed in it, even though it was written long before I ever saw Departed, which like there's a scene in the Departed where DiCaprio sees the envelope on Matt Damon's desk. And that was the exact same fucking plot device I used for the main character to figure out that like three of his friends that are responsible for this certain murder. And I was like, God damn it. I'm like, now I gotta fuck. Like now I got to change that. So yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's a crime drama, part thriller, you know, lots of swearing, you know, decent amount of violence, you know, Jim doesn't get hit by a car, which no. I can't say the same for all my other scripts. Cause he gets hit in one of,
I sure did.
The best part about that is it was written exactly as it happened. Jim got run over by a car. He's laying on the ground bleeding profusely. The guy who hit him gets out of the car and says, Jim, what the fuck were you thinking? Like, why didn't you move? And we all run over and Jim's bleeding like crazy. I like squeeze his nose and blood shoots out everywhere. And a guy runs across the street and says, like, what the hell happened? We're like, oh, don't worry about it. He's a friend of ours. And he's like, oh, okay. And he left. It's the best part. And true. Someone read that and said, you need to take this out because no one would ever do that to a friend. They would take him to the hospital.
Like, we went and got coffee and breakfast, and I drove home.
Okay, now when was this again?
2001, maybe?
Yeah, it something was like during that. our weekend Corrigan trips.
Yeah.
2001, yeah.
Yeah, and I was still at UPS, so yeah, it had to be 2001.
Yeah, because our buddy Ray, who has like this weird fetish for trying to hit people with his car,
which I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, yeah, because he tried hitting me, and like a normal person, I avoided the moving vehicle. Jim, however, was like, you know, I'm gonna play chicken, and then Jim decided to jump for some reason, and you know, the car hit his legs, and Jim's face slingshotted into the windshield.
I'm sorry, it doesn't get old.
No, it was fantastic.
And it explains so much.
It really does. And he like rolled off the side of it and had no idea where he was. And, you know, and then like our dumbasses like went into Jim's, the trunk of his car, and pulled out this disgusting old rag. And we're like wiping his face off. Forever. It was great. It was awesome.
It was. I really hope that film someday gets made as well.
Yeah, me too, dude. It'd
be a good time.
Ooh.
Anything else you guys want to ask, or Jack, you want to add?
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
I got a question for you.
Yes.
Have you seen The Wire yet?
I just got caught up with Breaking Bad. I'm taking a little break. The Wire is definitely on my plate.
Taking a break?
Yes.
You're not digging tunnels, dude.
It's something that I know Katie's going to want to watch, and I want to – I need to get her on the same
– Well, just so you know, I'm halfway through season two of Breaking Bad, and yeah. As much as everybody sits there and says how it's, like, the greatest show and everything, those people haven't seen The Wire.
See, I've watched like probably every episode of The Wire at least probably 5 times each. You know, and then I've seen all of Breaking Bad once through. I mean, Breaking Bad is a phenomenal show. I think it's on it. If it's not better than, I don't think it's better than The Wire, but at least they're in like the finals photo or whatever. They're definitely on par with each other. But yeah, The Wire's like watching a fucking poem in action. You know what I mean? It's like, it's just so goddamn well done. And it's kind of sad that David Simon, the guy who like created it, doesn't like the fact that everyone likes it now. Cause it's almost become cliche to love The Wire, considering no one fucking watched it. And including me, I didn't watch it at all when it was on HBO. I don't remember who told me to check it. I think it might've been you.
Yeah. Casper. I had mentioned it.
And I went on BitTorrent, downloaded the 5 seasons, watched them in a week, and then bought it on Amazon because I felt bad for not giving. I don't think David Simon gets a dime for buying the DVD. I think it all goes to HBO. But yeah, I'm like, I would feel bad if I didn't give the guys who created that show money.
Completely.
And that's very, very, very rare.
And I got to say, the thing with me with Breaking Bad, because it is mentioned up there a lot, Breaking Bad goes into ridiculous stuff on occasion, and to me goes into some more non-realistic things, where Wire, as deep and as intense as that show is, I never thought it lost touch with reality.
That's a good point.
Yeah, and like it, the characters are so interesting. Each season having its things, it's insanely amazing.
We want to thank Marcy for joining us. And also,
she said like 5 words. Thanks, Mars.
Well, yeah, I'm here just to provide the bear talk.
Exactly. Marcy likes bears. That's what I'm taking away from this.
You know what's gonna happen? You guys have seen An Evening with Kevin Smith, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's about like where he meets John Peters, and John Peters mentioned, dude, Spider-Man's got to fight a fucking spider, right?
Super.
Marcy's going to be in a theater one day, and there's going to be this movie by some director. She's like, I think I know that name. And then a bear is going to get killed. And she's like, that's fucking it.
That would be awesome.
And what's great, it's going to be a bear in Chicago. That why is there a bear in Chicago? Who fucking cares? Kill it. Like.
Well, we thank her for coming on, because she'll also be hosting this interview. So hopefully get you some Australian dollars.
You'll have my dollars. I want that bear.
Well, you know what you have to do for her money. She'll host the interview, but God damn it, you need to put a bear for her money. All right. Well, the main site is fourofakindfilm.com.
Yep.
And what is the – you can link – I'm assuming you'll be able to link straight from there to the Kickstarter page. And what is the that URL?
Yes, I will be linking. Correct. Because I do not know what the Kickstarter URL will be. They do not give that to you. There's just a big, giant launch button.
Oh, really?
And I kind of feel like Desmond in The Hatch. Like, do I press it? Do I press it?
So. That's another show he hasn't watched. Goes right
you haven't seen head. Lost?
No.
You watch Game of Thrones? You watch Game of Thrones,
yes,
right?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. No.
Have you guys watched The Newsroom at all?
No, I have to catch up. I saw the first two episodes.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I'm enjoying it.
Newsroom? Really?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, my only problem with The Newsroom is, even though like, I'm a huge Sorkin fan, and it's really well written, it's kind of like, I mean, since it's set in the recent past, you know, it's almost like let me show you guys how it should have been done. And it's kind of like being the guy who you watch the Super Bowl and you're like, I told you the Patriots shouldn't have punted. You know what I mean? It's a lot of like, and it kind of just, and it's so goddamn self-righteous. I mean, he does that with everything, but you know, but I mean, I still have watched all the episodes just cause I'm a big fanboy of his, but he kind of is starting to, I mean, it's not as bad as Studio 60 yet. I don't know if you guys watch that.
Like a couple episodes. Yeah, I can stick with it.
Don't. Don't. Just go watch Sports Night or something.
Yeah, Sports Night's fantastic. I'm about halfway through the second and final season.
Yeah, don't watch Studio 60.
Well, good luck on your endeavor. Hopefully you get the money and get this fucking thing made and sometime next year. Now, if you do get all the money, you're looking to shoot. Now, because that was another legal thing in terms of kind of taxes and whatever. But
right,
you're looking to, if you do raise it, are you going to start it at the end of this year or?
No, in order to avoid paying taxes this year, like if I raise the money by September and didn't shoot by December, having to pay. Now there's a certain, like, you can go on the accrual accounting method, I believe, which would have handled that possibly, but I'm not going to bore the shit out of everyone by talking about the accrual method. So I'll bore the shit out of you with tax law instead. So I had to form like a C corporation, change my fiscal year so that when I get the money, if I get the money in September, I would have, I think my fiscal year ends July of 2013. So I would have up until July to at least spend the bulk of it on production costs. So the film actually takes place in the winter just symbolic reasons alone. But I don't know anyone really wants to fucking shoot in the winter because it's cold and God only, and for our luck, we try and shoot in like February and it'd be 90 degrees out the way March was this year. But ideally, probably would be looking to shoot if we raised all the money by September. And if we weren't able to raise any more private capital, probably like in February or March, I'd say. And then I think the shooting schedule we put together was like 18 days, something like that. So most of February, remember, majority of March. And then from then on, it would be a long endeavor of editing and all the other crap that goes into post-production, which I look forward to. It should be fun. Because editing is almost like rewriting. It's like writing another draft.
Well, fucking hey, man. Good luck. Thanks for talking about this. And we'll be posting on our site. Marcia will be posting on hers. And hopefully we can get you some dollars.
Thanks, bro. And you did hit record, right?
I did. I'm about to hit stop.
All right. Cool, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks for coming on.
All right, bye.
Later.